Therefore, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen? That particular passage of Scripture found in the book of John chapter 8, down around verse 36. When you look at that passage of Scripture, it warrants a question. And the question is this: this very moment in your life, are you free? And I'm talking about really free, and are you free indeed, as Jerry Jr. just read to us. Have you been free by the Son, our Savior Jesus Christ? He's the one. God's only begotten Son is the only one that can offer that true freedom that you and I want. I assure you that no one that's gathered in this building today likes to be held captive in any part of his or her life. And if you're truly one today that is seeking freedom, then let me encourage you to look no further than Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God. Do you agree with me so far today? All right. There were many, many Jews of the day. You know, there's some people in here today, or could be, and there's some people in our families and perhaps some people that we know that don't think that they're being held captive. I know some of the Jews of that day that came out with those words said, we were never in bondage to any man, but with every step they took, you could just basically hear the clanging of their chains, if I may. You would hear them mumbling and grumbling because they just didn't realize they were in bondage, but yet they were. The Jews were in bondage, and they were very boastful. But one thing that they was doing was overlooking the fact that they were in bondage to the Romans. They were also in bondage to the letter of the law during that time. And many were in bondage, and you'll see that in the readings. They were in bondage to pride and unbelief. So listen, today I'm thankful, and I know that you're thankful today, that we as followers of Jesus Christ, we as baptized believers, upon our confession of faith and following Christ Jesus in faithful obedience, isn't it nice to know that we are not in bondage to the devil? Amen? Isn't it nice to know that today we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who makes us free and makes us free indeed? We all as Christians, every one of us have been liberated. And that is something we can take to the bank. We have been liberated. We have been made free, and we've been made free in Jesus Christ. I appreciate, once again, Jerry bringing those words to us over in the book of John, chapter 8, 31 through 36. And let's go back to 36. Therefore, if the Son, S-O-N, if the Son makes you free, the Bible says you shall be free. Finish it up, congregation. Indeed. So the Bible's giving you and me the blessed assurance that we want freedom. If you desire that freedom in life, you can have it. You'll have it with Christ Jesus. Friends, listen to me. You know as well as I do that we have freedom in Christ. We are made free from this, and I love this. In Christ, we have been made free from the power of our enemies. Do you agree with that? Who's our biggest enemy today? Satan himself. You know what? We're not free from his attacks, but if we are in Christ Jesus and we're wound up with Christ and we're bound up with Christ, then the devil can't really touch us, can he? As long as we continue to hold our faithfulness to our Heavenly Father, we don't have to worry about it. We do need to be aware of his attacks, but we need to know that our God is an awesome God. He's a powerful God, and the devil cannot overcome God. Amen? And as long as we are in God and we are bound up, wound up, and tied up with Jesus Christ, the devil will not win this war. So I want you to know today that if you feel like you're in bondage to sin, maybe you feel like you're in bondage to the devil, the Bible, God, I just wanted to know that you're not under that bondage. We're made free also from the broken law. That's what I love about being in Christ Jesus. We're not under that law anymore. It was broken. That law was broken, especially when Jesus gave his life upon that cruel cross at Calvary. We are certainly freed from the pride of life because what Stephen brought to us a while ago during the Lord's Supper about being humble, the humility, full submission to Jesus Christ, that helps us with the pride of life. The church, you know as well as I do, it is a glorious institution. And when we are added to the great body of Jesus Christ, liberation comes. Freedom comes to you and it comes to me. So I want us to consider, for the next few minutes, I want us to consider some points as we consider our lesson today, freedom in Christ. Those are three words. Listen to me again. Freedom in Christ. Now repeat that with me. Ready? Freedom in Christ. Some of you are asleep back there. Let's try that again. Freedom in Christ. Good. Glad you woke up. So we have this freedom only found in Jesus Christ. And that's what I want us to get to. But the first point, Jared, that I want us to consider is this. Let's look at what freedom is not. Teresa, is that all right? I want us to consider what freedom is not. I'm afraid that people today in the religious world, members of the body of Christ, from time to time there can be confusion about what real freedom is. But I think we better look at what it's not to begin with. Church, listen to me. Freedom in Christ does not mean that we are free from death. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean that we are free from death. You heard it many times before, what the Hebrew writer talked about over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, down around verse 27. But I'm afraid today that people think, have a tendency to think that, and why would I say this? But they have a tendency to think that their physical life is never going to come to an end. Some of you may be thinking, Jerry, we come here today to be lifted up, to be exhorted, and we walk in the door and you're telling us that we're dying. I got news for you. We are all dying physically, amen? But the great thing is we don't have to die spiritually because our liberation, our freedom comes in Jesus Christ. That Hebrew writer wrote about this, inspired of God, that every human being will endure a physical death. The reason I'm bringing this up is because we can look around us and we can see the society in which we live, and we see many people that identify themselves as a Christian, but sadly, based on the things that they're producing sometimes, it doesn't appear that they know that there's a death coming, a physical death coming. Knowing that there's a physical death on its way for you and for me, shouldn't we, brothers and sisters, make sure our life is right with Jesus? I appreciate all seven of you that said, yeah. Shouldn't we be sure that our life is right with Christ? There you go. Amen. So that's why I want to bring it up. And let us be reminded, not by me, but what the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27. Is it all found, everybody? The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed once for man to... But after this, here comes... Thank you, Heather. Here comes the judgment. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the... that we all may give an account for what we've done, whether good or bad. I threw that in there. I didn't have it up there, did I? Uh-huh. See, I just want to see where we were at. Folks, listen to me. When we are in Jesus Christ, listen, we will still die a physical sense, but our souls will live in heaven for eternity. I love this passage of Scripture, Chris. This is the one that you and I like, Matthew 25:46. The Bible says in these, listen, these will go away into everlasting punishment. Who? Those that are not free in Christ. Those that kept putting Jesus off. Those that didn't take serious the Word of God. Those that didn't take serious the Lord's church. Those that didn't take serious about what our job is in Matthew 28:18-20. Those that don't take serious about faithful obedience even unto death, Revelation 2:10. Those are the ones that the Bible's talking about. And these will. The Bible doesn't say they might. The Bible doesn't say they probably. The Bible says they what? Will go into everlasting punishment. But now watch this. But the righteous, the freed, the follower, the Christian, the child of God, the Bible says into eternal life. Those who are in Christ Jesus today, brothers and sisters, listen, has the promise of eternal life and a home that is being prepared for us Christians in heaven. In the book of John chapter 14 and in verse 2, the Bible says, in my Father's house are many. Thank you. Good job. And I go there to do what? Prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself that where I am, very good, you will be also. So listen, we all need to understand that the Christian, the child of God, is not free from other things in life. Not only are we not free from death, but you agree today that we are not free from temptation? Am I the only person that's tempted? Oh, thank you, liar. All right, yeah, preacher, you're the only one. So we all face temptation, and if you're one today saying, well, I don't face temptation, you need to be, seriously, the first one during the invitation because you're lying. The reality is we face temptation, whether it's big or small. The speed limit on I-65 coming out of Franklin, Kentucky, is 70 miles per hour. And I have to confess, if my wife's driving, we have never went 70 miles an hour. We've never went that slow. And so the reality is there are some things that we do in life, whether it's what we call big sin or little sin. The fact is we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Is that right? We're all tempted. Now, sometimes we may drive a little faster because we're late. Sometimes I may drive a little faster because I can't stand this person tailgating me on the back. We're tempted to do things. We're tempted to break the law from time to time. those things are minor, but are we tempted sometimes to cut somebody off? Not just in traffic, but oh goodness, here he comes, here she comes. I don't want to face them. I ain't dealing with this. Anybody ever been like that besides me? Thank you, Chris, for being straight up. Thank you, Ms. Johnson. We're all three kind of in a great little group here. And so the reality is we are all faced with temptations, and then we're tempted many times with the devices that Satan uses to try to pull people back into his snare. Do you think today he's using social media to pull people into a snare? Do you think he's using television? Do you think he's using these graphic movies? Do you think he's using trashy literature? Do you think he's using spare time to try to bring people and hold them into his snare? Absolutely. And every single person that puts on shoes today, every single human being today, we are tempted from time to time. But I want to tell you that when we have our freedom in Jesus Christ, we can overcome that temptation. But freedom in Christ does not mean that we are free from temptation. I hope and pray that you're not, that you don't underestimate that great tempter. We know in the Bible that the devil is real. Do you believe that? If you do, confirm it with an amen. I hope and pray you're not underestimating the power and the craftiness, if I may, of the devil himself. In the book of Matthew, chapter 4, in verses 1 through 11, you can read it now if you want to or do it later. But Jesus had fasted 40 days and afterwards he was very hungry, wasn't he? Can we use another word there? He was vulnerable, wasn't he? You fast for 40 days and 40 nights. I can't fast for 40 minutes and 40 seconds. But the reality is Jesus, our Savior, fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. Afterwards, he was hungry. Satan picked up on that, and he tried to tempt Jesus. Do anybody remember it? He tried to tempt him, and what he tried to get him to do, he said, if you'll fall down and worship me. That's what he wanted him to do, Brother Johnson. He wanted to worship. He wanted Jesus to worship him, and Jesus came back with it, and man, he answered correctly. Jesus said, it is, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of, thank you, Brother Larry, from the mouth of God. That, brothers and sisters, is how we overcome. And then we drop down to Matthew chapter 4, down in verse 7. It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Please, please remember that we are free in Christ Jesus for sure. But we're not free from temptation because that tempter, that snake that deceived Eve a long time ago, is still at it today. It's the same snake. It's the same tempter. The one that caused death to reign this very day. The same tempter that caused Adam and Eve to be cast out of the garden and it brought sin into the world. Did you know that's the same tempter that we're up against today? Usually like a question, weren't an answer. Y'all agree with that? Okay. So we have this same devil. We have this same tempter. So let's not underestimate him at all. Let me say this, please, please don't let Satan have his way with you and your family. If he can't get you, Chris, he'll try to get Courtney. If he can't get you, Brother Johnson, he'll try to get Miss Johnson. If he can't get you, he'll get one of the kids. Are we following? The devil's not going to leave us alone. But what we have to remember is my freedom is not in the devil. My freedom is in Christ. So yes, I know, Chris, he's going to attack me. I know he's going to keep tempting me. But what I have to do is keep my focus on who? Say it with me. God. I got to keep my focus on the cross and what happened on that cross and what that does for me and what it does for you. How it liberates us when we do the right thing. Freedom in Christ does not mean that we are free from the presence of sin. We see sin every single day. Many times we feel the effects of other people's sin. Is that a fair statement? And I want us to remember that we ourselves fall short. In the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says what? For all have and fallen of the glory of God. Good job, Cynthia. And then let's go to Romans 6, 23. Look at your pay package. What does the Bible say? For the wages of sin is very good, but the gift of God is eternal life in. You're rocking. Good job. So just because we see sin daily does not mean that we can or should participate in that sin. You and I, brothers and sisters, we are to avoid sin at all costs. We are to avoid sin and its allurements. I go over to the book of James, chapter 1, down in verse 12. The Bible says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to those who love him. Now watch this. If we go back over to 1 Thessalonians, and we look at chapter 5, consider verses 21 and 22. The Bible says, test all things, hold fast to what is good. And then verse 22, abstain from. Perfect, brother. Every bit of it. All of it. Don't play with it. Leave it alone. Very, very good. Snake, that snake will always bite you. Freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ does not mean that we won't face tough times and difficult times and challenging times. It doesn't mean that we won't be faced with tough decisions and tough choices that we have to make. It doesn't mean that our life will always be peaches and ice cream. That's not what it's all about every day. But being in Christ Jesus means that we are dear children of Almighty God. And we know that God loves His children so much that He sent Jesus, His only begotten Son, to literally die for you and for me. If you look to my right and you look to my left, it's a passage of Scripture that I told the congregation, I told the leaders here when I came here. I said, there's probably going to be two or three verses that I use. And Courtney, you're aware, I've used them, try to use them every time. But I want you to go with me. In John 3:16, y'all ready? For God so loved the that He gave His only begotten, that whosoever in Him should not, but have. 17, you're going to have to cheat on this one because it's not up there. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be, very good, might be saved. Well, listen, I need more than that. What do you mean you need more than that? I got to have a little more juice. That was pretty good. I liked it. Thank you, Lord, for that. But I still need some more assurance. Show me more about Your love to me, God. Okay, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Y'all ready? But God demonstrated His own love toward that while we were yet sinners, who died for us? Okay, we didn't die for Christ. We do in baptism. But it's Christ Jesus who died for us, which, Jerry, listen, that's what liberated us. That's what made us free. Right, Abby? Right, Abby? Okay, I didn't hear you. All right, so that is exactly what made us free, is the freedom that we have only in Jesus Christ. Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son, shall call His name Jesus. Guess what He'll do? Wow. Guess what He'll do? Okay. All right, I am thankful. Listen, I know you are. I am thankful today that you are made free in Christ, that I am made free in Christ, free from the eternal. This is what we got to love. We are free from the eternal consequences of sin, free from damnation. Freedom in Christ is a great blessing from God to His dear children. Confirm that with an amen if you believe it. Very good. Y'all ready for your second point? Good. This point, I'll have you out by 3 o'clock. Now I got people cussing in the congregation. Okay, let's take a look now. Let's take a look now at what freedom in Christ is for our second point. Let's just take, we've already considered what it's not. I know we could have talked about that a lot longer, but now let's just show you a few things about what it is. Freedom in Christ. Let me head on over to the book of Galatians because I need to hang out there. Galatians 3:10 through 13. But here's what I want us to understand about freedom in Christ and what it is. Freedom in Christ is to make free from the curse of the law. Thank goodness, amen. We are made free from the curse of the law. We must take a look at what Paul told the Galatian church over in Galatians 3:10 through 13. All found? The Scripture says, For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, and it is evident, for the just shall live by what? So the Bible says the just shall live by faith, not by the law, correct? Are we good? Jared, you think we're okay? I don't pull that out of context. We got Harvey here. Yet the law, watch this, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us. Oh, I love that passage of Scripture. He has redeemed us, Courtney. He has purchased us. He has bought us. He has made us what? Anybody want to go for it? Free. There. Oh, here we go. He has made us His own. We are adopted, but we have been made free in Christ Jesus. Watch this. From the curse of the law. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Listen to me. your freedom, my freedom, is found in those nailed, scarred hands of Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? Folks, we all should be so thankful that we are under the grace of God today, that you and I are under the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the favor of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the price for your freedom and mine. Jesus paid the ransom for your sins and my sin. And because of that, folks, you and I are both made free in Jesus Christ. I love what the Scripture says in John 8:32. Familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible says, and you shall know the... And the truth's going to do what? It's going to set you free. It's going to make you free. Being in Christ Jesus makes us free from the guilt of sin, because the burden and guilt of our sin was placed right on Jesus. And you can see that in 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. So folks, listen to me. Having freedom in Christ means that we are not under the power of darkness. I love that. We are no longer under the power of darkness, but we are directed by the light of the world. In 1 John 1:7, the Bible says, if we walk in the light as we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, does what? Bring it home, Bobby. Cleanse us from how much of our sin? Very good. From all of our sin. I love the fact that I'm no longer. And I love the fact that you as a Christian, we are no longer in darkness, but rather in light that came from above. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What a beautiful promise from the Lord. You remember what that great psalmist David, anybody ever heard of David? Okay, good. David is a pretty good guy, I guess. He was a king at one time, I think. But anyway, the great psalmist David, and what he said over in Psalm chapter 27, down in verse 1, watch this. The Lord is my light, and He's also my what? My salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's a beautiful, beautiful statement. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David's freedom and David's strength came from Almighty God. Amen? Your strength and your freedom comes from Almighty God. David could walk confidently in life because he knew that he was not in darkness. He was no longer in darkness. Was David ever in darkness? Yeah, when he went up on that rooftop. When do we go into darkness? When we step out of the light of the Lord and we step in the darkness of the devil. He stepped on the rooftop, and while he was on the rooftop, he was up there. Now, first of all, he was neglecting his responsibilities because he should have been out there with his soldiers, shouldn't he? Should have been out there doing the right thing, Bobby. But he didn't. So while he's on the rooftop, what happened? He looked over and he saw this little chickadee. You remember her name? Who? Was it Bathsheba? Anyway, he saw this girl, and what happened with her? She was, it's okay to speak. She was gorgeous, is that what you said? All right, so she was very beautiful. Was she bathing? Was she cleaning herself up? Whew, man, y'all are hard this morning. So she was over there getting shined up. He looked over at her and thought, man, she is fine. She is one fine chickadee. What did he do? Did he call for her? That's a great big yes. And what did he do with her? The Bible says that he lay with her. And after that, after a period of time, he got the message, those dreaded words he didn't want to hear. I am with a child. Now he's upset. Now David has really went from being in the light of God. Now he went to the rooftop of darkness. Amen. Say that with me. He went to the rooftop of darkness. So he walked into the arena of sin. Now, what did he do wrong? Did David accept his responsibility? Not at that point. So what did he do? He wanted her husband to be put to what? Why? Because he didn't want her. He didn't want to find out. And I skipped a little bit of it there. But what's his name? Anybody remember? Uriah. All right, so Uriah was put out in the field in the very front, which pretty well guaranteed his what? Guaranteed his death. David goes, he understands that we have this issue going up. The baby, did the baby get real sick? Yes, the baby got sick. And then what happened? Was David fasting? Was he laying on the ground? Yes. Did the baby die? Yes, he did. David arose, turned himself back over to the Lord, confessed basically his sin, acknowledged and took ownership of what he had done, and David went on his way, didn't he? All right, so David did take ownership, but do you see how quick David was a king, a man of authority, a man with some integrity? We thought it had integrity. And then this king is now laying on the ground, not eating, wallowing in dirt, and so sad. Don't tell me that sin can't rip you apart. Amen? How many people in our lives, how many times has it happened to us individually that things were going really well in life? I mean, things were going well. I just don't know how things could get any better. And then we began to walk into the darkness a little bit, and how quick our lives will crumble. You can go from a king to a peeping Tom. And that's exactly what he did, didn't he? And we see that death came as a result. Death of his child, death of Uriah. We could go into a lot of examples about that type of situation. But David said it all when he got things straightened out. The Lord is my light. He is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I say all that to say this. Every single person in here, Amy, every one of us has made mistakes. Do y'all agree with that? Every one of us has stepped out of the light, Chris, and walked into darkness. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to be free in Christ. It means that you have a choice to make. And the choice is, I can remain in the darkness of the devil, or I can stay over here in the light of the Lord. It's your choice which one you want to do. I'm telling you, according to the Bible, that your freedom is in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that liberation comes from the Father. Listen, freedom in Christ means this. It means that we have escaped the punishment that we truly deserve. In Christ, we have life, and we have eternal life in heaven with God and the heavenly host. And you and I together have escaped the horrors of hell, where there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth, agony for eternity, never ending. Freedom in Christ Jesus. Freedom in Christ means that I have escaped the eternal consequences that I deserve. The third and final point, this lesson will go home with you. We've looked at what freedom in Christ is not. We've looked at what freedom in Christ is. And we also understand that God pours blessings out upon us. Do we all agree with that before I close out? Amy, this is the first time I said close. You know there's always three, right? Okay, got two more? Okay. All right, so when we talk about this, I want us to understand that so many preachers lie. And what I mean by that is I hear these preachers from the pulpit talking about how, you know, there are no strings attached. You become a Christian and there's no strings attached. I have to say you're a liar because there's a lot of strings attached. Amen? What about faithfulness to God? Is that a string attached? Yeah. What about continuing to study His Word so that we can find ourselves approved unto God? Is that a string? What about continuing in prayer, doing what God's called us to do? Is that an obligation? Yeah, so we have that. So don't let these preachers stand up here and tell you, oh, salvation is free. If you hear a preacher say salvation is free, you need to hold your hand up and say, you need to read, preach a Revelation, what is it, 1:8 or 2:8 or something, about all liars shall have their 21:8. That's it. All liars, because that preacher's lying to you. Salvation has never been free. It cost, Brother Johnson, it cost God His Son. It cost Jesus His life. It cost His disciples their leader. It cost these followers their very best friend. And it cost us our Savior, didn't it? So don't ever say that salvation is free. We need to understand that you and I, with all of these blessings that we received and the gift of God, we have responsibilities. And that's what I want us to get on a third. Make sure that we look at our responsibilities as those who have been made free. With the blessings that you have in God also comes responsibilities. Amen? We have so many blessings as followers of Jesus Christ. We have the blessings of the avenue of prayer. Thank God for that. We have His Word so readily available in front of us. We have the promise of eternal life in heaven for those that are faithfully obedient. And we can be there with the Father and have a life here even more abundantly. We have the blessing of being part of His church. Isn't that cool that God adds us to His church? Matthew 16:18, I say to you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. He's telling me and you that even though he's physically, his physical body, he's going to die and ascend up on high, but he says, Jared, my church will always stand, amen, because I built it upon this rock, this solid foundation, I built my church. And what I love about this is one of the blessings that we have. Being free in Christ means that we have been part, we've been added to His church as Christians. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, having favor with all of the people, the Lord added to the church. Whose church? His church, those that are being. And the reason we know it's His church, because it's the same church that's being talked about on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached that first sermon. We also have the blessing of food in our stomach, shoes on our feet, roof over our head. So many blessings that we are truly blessed with. How about this one? Salvation. And how about this one? Salvation. And how about, let's not forget this one, salvation. Say what a blessing with me. What a blessing. Very good. We are to be faithful, brothers and sisters, in all things. To show Christ Jesus how grateful we are and how thankful we are, let me make sure this is clear. Let me convey this message. If you're free in Christ and you love the Lord and you're thankful for the blessings that He sheds upon you, you don't need a preacher standing here begging you to do the right thing. Amen? You're not going to need someone to beg you to do what God's calling you to do. If we love the Lord, we'll do what He tells us. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep. Thank you, Jerry Jr. Keep my commandments. Listen, we're to be faithful in all things, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews chapter 10, down in verse 25. Remembering what the Lord did for you and me as we partake of the Lord's Supper. We get that instruction from Acts chapter 20, down in verse 7. We have the responsibility to give back as we have been prospered. 1 Corinthians 16, down in verse 2. We have the responsibility and these strings attached, if I may, to sing and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. We are to pray without. That's right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, down in verse 17. Luke 18, 1. Man ought always to pray and not lose heart. And we are to preach and teach His word, the oracles of God, not what Jerry thinks. You don't need to know about my education. You don't need to know about what I have for breakfast. You don't need to know what kind of car I drive. All you need to know is about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? That's what I need to know. So often we hear these preachers get up and they talk about their levels of education and what this does and that does. I don't give a rat's ear about your education. What I care about is what are you presenting from the pulpit? What are you telling the congregation? Are you sharing the oracles of God? Your education? Care? Congratulations. Give me $5. Well, 10. You can do it that easy. But that's not going to get us to heaven, is it? What gets us to heaven is this, Jerry Jr. The oracles of God and abiding in it. Being faithful unto death. Very good. You and I have the responsibility of preaching the word of God. Friends, we also have the responsibility. I don't like these next ones. I really don't. We also have the responsibility to love our enemies. Now, y'all better pray for your preacher on that one. I struggle with that. If someone's dogging me out, Chris, I'm thinking about calling you and saying, hey, let me give you $100 over and take them out. I better not say it on Facebook, excuse me. The reality is anybody besides me have a struggle with loving their enemies? Thank you, Harvey. Rest these people. But no, don't let me judge. It is hard for me. If someone is dogging me out, someone says something hurtful about one of my family members, about my grandchild or my son or my daughter-in-law, whatever, I do get hurt, and you get hurt. It's hard for me to show just how much I love you if you're hurting my family. Does that make any sense? If you're my enemy, how am I supposed to love you through that? I'll show you how. The same way that Jesus did when we nailed Him to the cross, when we were putting nails in His hands, and we're putting nails in His feet, and He looked out and He said, Father, but they don't even know what they're doing. We want Christ to forgive us. We want Christ to forgive us for what we've done to Him. But how often do we not want to forgive our enemies? Forgive your enemies, amen? Forgive your enemies, Jerry. Get over it. Grow up. Man up. We're also not only to love our enemies, but we are to love our neighbors as. And we are to take up our cross daily and follow Him, according to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And we are to put, this is something that the majority of our society struggles with, we are to put Jesus before everything and everyone. Matthew 6, 33. Y'all ready? Seek ye the kingdom of God and His. And all these things shall be, Heather, your own fire. Good job. We have a responsibility to spread the gospel as well. And I'm going to get you out of here in just a minute. But Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is considered the Great Commission. You have a responsibility to spread the gospel to other people. Do you agree with it? Make disciples of all the nations, baptize them, and he says, and teach them to observe all the things I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of time. We have a responsibility to be good stewards of what God's blessed us with. And folks, we have the responsibility to live an upright life before the Father and to live a life that he's glorified by. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. What does that say? Let your soul shine before that they may see your glorifying your, which is, thank you for your help on that one. I couldn't remember it. We have the responsibility to love God without limitation, to love his church without limitation, and to love his people without limitation. So this morning, Amy, this is the third, so we're going to really close. This morning, what about you? In a very serious note, are you free in Christ Jesus? Looking at your own life, you're the only one that can answer that. Are you free in Christ Jesus this very moment? If not, then come to him. Submit your life to his will and his way. I assure you that there is nothing in all of the world that compares to the loving kindness of God, to the mercy of God, to the forgiveness of God. I absolutely guarantee you that there may be a lot of things in life that you like and love, but I promise you that pales in comparison to a great relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. So today, if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, I hope and pray that you'll get things right with the Father. Seek that freedom that you need. If you're not a Christian, right now, walking with Jesus, you're being held captive and you're in bondage with Satan. It's up to you individually and what you want to do with that. I choose Jesus. Say that with me. All right, I choose Jesus. You choose this day who you're going to serve. Let me tell you how to become a Christian. Hear his word. I gave it to you. Believe in Jesus Christ. Don't just believe. Let's go take that further. Know who Jesus Christ is. Know what he did for you and for me. So we believe. We also are willing to and must make sure that we change our life. That's called repentance. Amen. I'm going to stop practicing iniquity. I'm going to start practicing with the righteousness of God. So hear, believe, repent. And then the Bible says that we are to confess. And that we are to make a public confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses that we know that Jesus is God's Son. He was buried in that borrowed tomb of Arimathea, Joseph of Arimathea. And then he arose. How many days was it? 3 days. 3 days later, he arose. Now sits on high with his Father, doesn't he? We are to be baptized because the minister said you are to be baptized. Okay, a little scolding here. No, preacher, that's not right. We are to be baptized for the forgiveness. Very good. The forgiveness of our sins. And we are to live faithful into and unto our death. And always remember, we are indeed. This morning, if you are a Christian, but you realize that you've erred from the truth, you went back into the world, you stepped over into darkness, do what David did. Come back to the light. Do what I've had to do multiple times. Come back to the light. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to condemn you. We're just going to pray for you. If you need the prayers of the congregation, you're welcome to come at this invitation. Do not be ashamed to ask for the prayers of the congregation. Be ashamed you didn't ask for the prayers. Should you have a need, and you need it all, come now. As together we stand and we sing.